This is James R. Copeland, the director of the Center for Legal Policy at the Manhattan Institute, and it's my pleasure to welcome Dr. Robert J. Shapiro, the chairman of Sonacon Advisory Firm. Dr. Shapiro is an economist who's advised everyone from Senator Daniel Patrick Moynihan to former President Clinton, Vice President Al Gore, Senators Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, and from 1997 to 2001, he served as the Undersecretary of Commerce for Economic Affairs for the United States. He's also written for us a new legal policy report for the Center for Legal Policy called Corporate Political Spending, Why the New Critics Are Wrong. And there's been a sort of rash of activity since the controversial Citizens United decision came down from the Supreme Court involving corporate political spending. And some of this activity has involved the claims pushed by certain shareholder activists and affirmed by certain academic studies that corporate political expenditures actually hurt corporate shareholders, that they're a symptom of what's called agency costs or a disconnect between the shareholders and the management. So at a basic level, Rob, how do you assess this sort of claim in light of the broad academic literature that you surveyed for our report?
Well, Jim, when I read these studies, the first thing that struck me was how contrarian they were to two generations of literature, that political scientists and economists and sociologists have been trying to figure out what is the effect generally of different interest group activity on policy and on the organizations, and in particular, when it comes to corporations, does it work? Corporations make contributions to politicians and through PAC contributions, for example, predominantly they lobby, which is probably the predominant form of political activity by businesses. We assume that they do it because at some level they think it helps them, it benefits them economically. And so two generations of social scientists have tried to figure out, first of all, is that true? And second of all, to measure the effect. So when I read these studies, my first thought was, wow, they are in one way or another saying that two generations of social science done by some of the most eminent social scientists of our era is wrong. We need to really examine what they did to see if there really is a problem with all this body of research, because occasionally a whole profession can get off on the wrong track and actually be wrong for quite some time.
Interesting. So the two generations of studies you're talking about, I mean, they basically, if I read you correctly, are suggesting that from lobbying activity, from corporate PAC contributions, and also certain studies that value political connections with various individuals who may have switched caucuses or died prematurely or what have you, have a real sizable impact on corporate shareholders. Is that a correct statement?
It's correct in general. What they have found is there's a wide variety of behavior by corporations in the political process. Sometimes you can see that it clearly works. Sometimes it's not apparent if it does. After all, there are corporations that contribute to both sides of any election, and only one side wins. But that doesn't mean that the contributions on the other side had no benefit at all. A losing campaign can often still influence policy. Similarly, companies may lobby against a particular regulation or against a proposed law. The regulation or the law may go into effect, but the lobbying may have tempered the terms of that law or regulation. So it's not always clear cut. So these studies have had to look at all of these activities and do either what are called event studies, where you actually follow through a single set of contributions or lobbying and then then look for the results in the elections and in the votes which come out of that election or the passage of the legislation, or more commonly, their statistical analysis of contributions and lobbying by lots of companies, often usually by an industry, all the companies in a particular industry. And with that, you can do what economists call regression analysis, where you look for statistical correlations between changes in one thing and changes in another, and then you try to figure out what that correlation represents. There is a broad consensus out of all of these event studies and statistical analyses, and basically what it says is corporations don't always gain, but on balance, the returns of corporations which are politically engaged are higher than the returns on corporations which are not politically engaged, which don't lobby or contribute. And that's after you control for the particular characteristics of the corporation. What no one has found before these three new studies is that political activity actually harms corporations. There are studies that have said, in certain cases, the lobbying didn't have any effect. There are other studies that say the lobbying had significant effect. That shouldn't surprise us. After all, nobody wins all the time. We live in a period of very closely divided politics. But no one has ever found, before these three new studies, that engaging in political activity through contributions and lobbying and the connections companies make through this actually harms the shareholders of those corporations.
So Rob, how did these studies differ then? In other words, you've got three new studies, one by Rajesh Agarwal, I guess I'm saying his name correctly, from University of Minnesota, and a couple of colleagues, and then a couple by John Coates at Harvard Law School. How did these studies differ from those that have been done previously, and what explains sort of the divergence in results from your point of view?
Well, at a very general level, they start with a different model. Their model says that political activity is part of what economists call a principal-agent problem. And what that means in everyday language is that it's an example of when the activities of the managers of a company diverge from the interests of the shareholders. The shareholders are the principals of any company because they own it. The managers are their agents. And sometimes we know in other areas agents, the managers, will pursue their own personal interest in a way which hurts shareholders. After all, we saw some of that in the financial crisis where there were very large risks taken and the managers got rewarded for it, but it turned those risks turned out to cripple the corporation and harm the shareholders.
Sure.
What was new about this was the proposition that political engagement, political activity in general, is an example of a principal-agent problem. That companies which engage in politics do so because the managers, the executives, think that it will advance their personal interests, not because they think that it will help the company. And so that was a different theoretical approach, as opposed to the more general approach, which is economic organizations behave strategically to advance the interests of the organization, which would be the shareholders. which is the more typical way to approach it.
And so what exactly do they find? You criticize these studies, particularly the COAT study, particularly the first COAT study, but what do they find? What are the problems with their findings, or at least what's the problem with drawing the broad inference from these studies that this principal agent hypothesis has been in some way substantiated by their findings?
Well, the problem is there's no evidence. They can't produce any evidence of it, nor can they produce a credible explanation of how this would come about. That is, how is it that that political activity would actually harm the shareholders? There is one suggestion in the second COAT study that what he believes happens is that the executives become so absorbed in being politically active through their corporation that they, in effect, overlook other things that are happening in the market and in their companies, and the companies suffer. You would need to do event studies to demonstrate that that has ever actually happened. There's no example of it that we know of. The more generally, because they see this as an agent-principal problem, what they look for are relations between the performance of companies, whether they underperform or overperform their peers, other companies which are not politically active, companies that are like them but not politically active, and indexes of governance. There are various academics have tried to put together indexes that can measure whether the governance of a corporation is what they consider good or bad. I personally judge the governance of a corporation by the returns of that corporation, but this is an attempt to go behind the returns and identify certain characteristics, whether how many outside board directors there are, whether there's a very big board where most people wouldn't be engaged, or a small board. There are a whole series of measures. So what they do is they find that they observe that the corporations they're looking at, which have underperformed, are politically active, also have poor governance, according to these indexes. They take that to be the proof of the agent principle problem in their political activities. The problem is they can't establish what the relationship is between these variables. It may be that the most obvious explanation for why a company performs badly is not because it gives to political candidates or even because it has poor governance, but because it's a weak company.
Right.
And that's the main reason companies underperform, because they're weak. Now, it may be that they have bad managers who can't correct the problem. That, again, doesn't tell you anything about governance, and it certainly doesn't tell you anything about politics. They never establish that the poor governance follows the political activity, much less is caused by it.
Right.
What they've done is they've kind of thrown a whole set of variables against the wall, and then they hypothesize a relationship, but they haven't been able to show the relationship. That's the easiest critique. And that's the critique that I apply to the Agrawal study, which is technically, in each of its parts, fairly rigorous. Now, the Agrawal study only looks at a very small slice of political activity. It doesn't look at lobbying. It doesn't look at PAC contributions. It looks instead at contributions to 527 organizations and soft money contributions to parties. It cannot make its case, but the case it's trying to make is actually quite limited.
Right.
The COAT studies are much more ambitious. They claim to show that political activity, the expenditures on both PAC contributions and on lobbying produce a lower return for shareholders. The Coates studies have a lot of the more theoretical problems that the Agarwal study has, and that is he's never able to show a direct statistical relation that would tell you that one caused the other. And let me say, that's a possible, you know, there are techniques for doing that. It's not as if all regression analysis can only show correlation. There are techniques, the Granger causality analysis, for example, for which Clive Granger won the Nobel Prize in Economics in 2003, which can identify a direction of causality between two interrelated variables. He doesn't try to do this. But beyond that, the Coates studies are very weak technically. The first study is really something of an embarrassment, frankly. I would give it a D in an intermediate economics course for an undergraduate, in my experience of teaching undergraduates. And the reason is that he didn't control for the characteristics of the companies. That is, we know that companies which are engaged in political activity are different from average companies. In particular, they may come from regulated industries. They tend to be larger, much larger, than companies that don't lobby or make contributions. There are any number of other characteristics that are particular to politically engaged companies as opposed to, you know, the small manufacturer down the street from you who's not going to give money to most campaigns or right. Doesn't have the resources or the incentive to lobby. So because he didn't control for that, is all his results show is ultimately that companies with the characteristics of those which lobby do lobby. That's essentially his conclusion. Right. It's a pretty elementary mistake that he makes.
Remedies that to some degree in his second study.
In his second study, he does. He remedies it, and he comes to different conclusions. He has to acknowledge that the political activities of regulated industries, the political activities of industries that make large sales to government, benefit their shareholders. And those include at least a third of the economy, financial services, telecommunications, defense, healthcare. There are a lot of these industries. He holds, however, that in unregulated industries and industries that don't have significant sales to government, lobbying harms shareholders. But that's what he says, but his data don't show that. If you look at his actual data, they show virtually no difference in performance between companies that lobby and those that don't. Moreover, he only looks at the decision to lobby. That is, lobbying is either a one or a zero in programming terms. He doesn't look, he makes no distinction between industries or companies that expend significant resources relative to their sales or revenues from companies which contribute very small percentages.
When you
look at the intensity, in fact, the results come out quite differently. And so again, he makes assertions which his own data cannot support.
Fascinating. So at the end of the day, do you think it's safe to say that if I'm a shareholder of a company, considering a company's political spending without knowing anything about what the spending entails, I wouldn't take anything away from these three studies that I ought to be worried about the company based on the company having some engagement in the political process?
I would go further than that. I would say if the company you're a shareholder of wants to be politically engaged, that on balance, you should feel pretty confident that their engagement will improve the value of your holding. It won't necessarily do so, but on balance, it probably will, and there's virtually no chance that it will actually harm the value of your holdings. Now, look, people are, you know, not only economic creatures, and there are all kinds of reasons to object to the political activity of a company that you have a say in.
Oh, sure.
But shareholder returns is not one of them.
Got it. Well, it's been my pleasure to have you with me again. This is James R. Copeland of the Manhattan Institute Center for Legal Policy. I've been with Dr. Robert J. Shapiro discussing his new legal policy report, Corporate Political Spending, Why the New Critics Are Wrong, which is available at our website, www.manhattan-institute.org.
Jim, just one additional comment, and that is I want to acknowledge my talented colleague and co-author, Doug Dawson, who is also an author of this report.
Absolutely. I certainly didn't mean to slight Doug. So thank you so much for the two of you for working on this paper and for doing this podcast.
Our pleasure, Jim.
Thanks.